you ready for a deep dive into one of the most intense animated series out there? Welcome to Radioactive Ramblings, where we are currently breaking down the world of Invincible. Each week, we're going to unpack the jaw-dropping twists, the unforgettable characters, and that trademark brutal action. From Mark Grayson's journey to the darker side of heroism, to our continued love of Debbie, we've got every moment covered.
Mark, I don't want to hurt you.
I'm not the one who's going to get hurt.
You said you don't do threats.
Yeah, well, people change.
Whether you're a longtime fan or just getting started, tune into our exclusive takes, fan theories, and so much more. Catch new episodes of Radioactive Ramblings every week, your go-to podcast for all things Invincible and more.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
O'Reilly. Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome to the first Lorehounds Lorecast of Season 3 of The Wheel of Time. I'm Alicia.
I'm John, and this is a weekly extra episode just for subscribers. We'll keep these focused on one core area of lore related to that week's episode.
And with the Black Aja uprising in the Tower this week in the Season 3 premiere, we thought the Aja system was a good place to start for Episode 1. What and why are the different Ajas, and how does the Black Aja fit into the rest? And we also know we decided we're going to do a double lore cast for episodes 2 and 3, just like we're doing a double breakdown, and that's going to be geography.
That's right. And we've already broken the 3Ls once this episode, because we're going to be releasing this first one for the public as a teaser, a taste of what the lore cast are going to be. So only subscribers, though, will get the one on geography. And subscribers either on traditional subscriptions or the season pass, which is $10, you can get all of our ad-free podcasts for Wheel of Time, plus these bonus episodes.
And the show notes and episode notes.
The show guides, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. But today we are focusing on the Ajas. So there are 7 official Ajas in rainbow colors. We're going to talk through them. And then the unofficial Black Aja that we will also talk about how that throws in a wrinkle. But let's step back to the origin of the Ajas. So I had some notes from the wiki, and you have some notes from the Origins of the Wheel of Time book about the series. Do you want to start with those?
Sure. So this book has a few sections. And first of all, it talks about the writing process, the compares him with Tolkien's process, and it talks about Robert Jordan's life. Then at the end, it has a really long and detailed glossary where it gives you not just the definition, but the origin, like the book says, of the term that Robert Jordan has created here. So Michael Livingston, the author, writes, "The idea of the Aja is rooted in the religious orders of the medieval church that undergird much of the Aes Sedai. These are internal, self-organized groups built around a specific set of principles within the larger hierarchy under the direction of the Pope or the Amerlin Seat. Historically, these religious orders were identifiable by the colors of their robes. Franciscan monks wore brown, Dominicans wore white, Benedictines wore black, and so forth. Unlike religious orders whose hierarchies are clear to outsiders, however, the authority of Aes Sedai within their Aja were only internally known. Jordan compared this with his own experiences with the practice of Freemasonry, where the town banker or mayor may hold an insignificant office or none at all, while a mechanic or the banker's chauffeur might be Grandmaster.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. And so then the in-universe lore is that, so there's the Age of Legends, which we've caught glimpses of in the show. Basically, that's when they have those flying Jokars and the tall skyscrapers and when Luz Theron lived. And in the Age of Legends, the Aes Sedai were both male and female, and the Ajahs didn't exist like they do now. It just meant a temporary group of people banded together for a specific purpose. So after the breaking, when Luz Theron broke the world, we'll have to do a lore cast on that in the future.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then leading up to especially, you know, the modern White Tower, there were more Ajahs than used to exist and exist now. There were, I think, 12, and now there are obviously 7. And it's not really clear in the in-universe history why exactly they landed on these 7 or which Ajahs fell by the wayside. But yeah, basically, they stopped using Ajah with a lowercase a, which meant in general groups banding together. And then it just became Ajah with an uppercase A, which is just one of these 7 colors, your orientation within the tower. Did I explain that well? Is there anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great explanation. I would just add that, like, you can't underemphasize how traumatic the breaking of the world was for everybody, especially the Aes Sedai, because half of their members started going crazy. Mm-hmm. And they had to just deal with that all of a sudden. And I would guess, this is my headcanon now, that I didn't know about the reduction of from 12 to 7. I'm curious about your source for that, because I didn't even know.
There's a lot of the sources for this, and when we're talking about the geography, there's some extra materials in the it's a book that was written based on Robert Jordan's notes.
Oh, I have to get this because I would like to have more of these resources. Do you have this book?
I mean, a digital version. It's called The World of Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Time.
Okay, yeah. Yes. I've heard of this. I have not gotten it. You know what? I'll let you keep getting in-world bits from that, and I'll get the out-of-world stuff from Origins.
Teamwork.
Yep. My headcanon, anyway, is that they will have forgotten some of the skills by this 98 after the breaking. And that's why some of these went to the wayside. Is like, maybe there was an Aja dedicated to making Terran Grial. For example.
Perhaps. Yeah.
That's just guesswork, though.
Mm-hmm. And so now what we're left with, there's 7, and we'll talk about them in rainbow colors, starting with the blue, which, you know, we start basically from the perspective of the blue, because the blue is Moraine's Ajah. It's also the Ajah of Swan, formerly the Ajah of Swan, the Emerlin Seat, and Liana, her Keeper of the Chronicles. When you are, we'll talk about this more in a minute, but when you're raised to Emerlin Seat, you give up your Ajah and you become of all and none. But also we met Maigen from the Blue Ajah. She was this secret head of the Blue Ajah that was captured by the Shanshan. Gitara was the one who gave the prophecy that sent Moraine and Swan off on their mission to find the dragon. Ispan is a black Aja's member of the Blue Aja, who we saw break away in this first episode. Shiriam, Mistress of Novices, who's not going to be in season 3 for some reason. She was also the Blue Aja. Yeah, I don't know why. And we also, we're going to meet another important blue sister this season, Lilaine. So.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize she was in this season.
Yeah, there was a casting announcement. So,
I guess we're swapping out some sisters here.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why Shiria, Mistress of Novices, it would make sense she was around the season. I don't know if there was a scheduling conflict with the actress or what. But
you never know. It's so much more complicated than in a book, right? Like, you can't just read into the story intent. You have to read into, like, who was available.
Right, exactly. You can't just say Shiriam's there. You have to be like, well, can Shiriam be there?
Yeah.
So the purpose of the blue is they fight for causes of justice and righteousness, and they are kind of like the spy network Ajah. Like, every Ajah has their own spy network, their eyes and ears, they call it, but the blue has the biggest network of these.
Yeah, I'd say the blues are the ones who are going to show up to your protest. You know, they are just they are just all in on a cause.
They're the ones running the protest. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the sister who leads the Blue Aja is titled the First Selector. And so, yeah, all these Ajas have secret Aja heads that they know within the Aja, but they don't announce it publicly for political reasons.
Wow. The Aes Sedai are so weird. Like, some of these things, it's like, why do you need to hide that?
I mean, I ask that question about people all the time in real life. I can't believe the things that people play coy about, but then I guess, you know, something's used against you once and you become twice shy.
Yeah, I guess so.
And who are the best friends of the Blue?
The Green.
The Battle Aja. So that's obviously Alana. We is our most notable Green member. We also met in the first season, Karene, RIP. And we met the Black sister, Jean, in this first episode. She's the one who liked her warders dying.
Yeah, that was spooky. That was spooky. Great, great story building, right? Great, mm-hmm. great demonstration without describing it of like how dark these people are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it was funny because you see the warders of Alana, you know, Maxim is like, oh, good, it's Jean, you know, she's one of ours. And then she's like, nope, I'm actually Black Aja.
Yep.
And yeah, and the Greens are the Battle Aja. Their head is called the Captain General. And it's common for them to bond multiple warders, ostensibly because, you know, these are more soldiers to fight on their side, but also the Greens tend to be, I mean, they're always kind of like the most sexual, as we see portrayed in Alana. And I guess maybe it has something to do with, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die.
Yeah, yeah, I get that. I mean, I said this in the episode one recap. I think that we finally get to see, like, why the Green are the Battle Aja with Alana mm-hmm. fighting the mm-hmm. Black Aja here. I mean, their front flip, I mean, come on, Matrix style moves. I was like, yeah, all right, we're here with the Green Aja.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, and the other, yeah, the next Aja in the rainbow is Yellow, and they are known as the Healers. We've met Rima, who was collared and or killed last season in Falm, and we also met Yellow sister Chesmal Emery this season. And I think there are actually two Yellow members of the Black, which people were like, oh my god, the healing Aja, no.
I mean, it's a good disguise, right? Like, nobody's gonna mm-hmm. be like, you healed me, you must be evil.
Right, exactly. And I mean, they need to embed in every single Aja so that the Dark mm-hmm. One knows what's going on everywhere. And yeah, the First Weaver is the head of the Yellow Aja. Anything to add there? I mean, this is one, we're gonna learn more about this one for sure as the story goes, but
yeah, I don't think I could say anything without giving spoilers, so I'm just going to hold my tongue here.
Yeah, they're healers. They use water and spirit a lot in their healing at this point. So when you see Yellow's channeling in these episodes, pay attention to the colors of the weaves, and you'll see they're using basically two weaves right now, water and
spirit. I think they use air too sometimes, but they definitely don't use fire and earth. That's like taboo in healing.
Right. Yeah. And then, yeah, speaking of earthy, we've got the Brown Aja. And, so we've met a good number of Brown Aja sisters. They're one of my favorites because they're the nerds. They're the ones.
They're the Hufflepuffs.
I would call them the Ravenclaws because they're the ones who collect and curate knowledge, but
yeah, fair enough. It's just like, I think social status wise, they are the Hufflepuffs.
You think?
Tower. Like, they're not the cool people ones. Definitely chide them for being like too bookwormy and all that.
Right.
I mean, I'm saying this as someone who probably would end up being Brown Aja.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny that they're always like, oh, you Browns. Always. Like, there is a thing in the book, a recurring thing where like somebody tries to talk to a Brown and they're like lost in thought and they don't even respond.
Right. Like Luna Lovegood, who was, she was Gryffindor, by the way. But yeah. Yeah. I would be, if I were in the tower.
She wasn't Gryffindor, was she?
Wasn't she? Oh, no, she was Ravenclaw.
I'm saving you here from the Potter people.
I mean, I have to admit that I have let Potter fall by the wayside in recent years.
As have I. I vaguely recalled this detail.
Yeah. She was always my favorite character, though, Luna Lovegood.
She was cool. She was cool. She should have ended up with Harry.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't think.
I think it was a much more interesting relationship. Anyway, let's move on. This is not a Harry Potter podcast. I think we're in Harry Potter thought because, like, the houses are so, they're so, like, very similar to, like, the Harry Potter.
But there's seven instead of four, so they can be more specific.
Right, right.
But yeah, so we got, if I were one of the Ajahs, I was going to say, I would be either, I like to think I would be green, but maybe I would probably be blue, gray, or brown. Yeah.
I think this is also like one of the flaws in this is they try to pigeonhole everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of our Wonder Girls, we're mm-hmm. going to start calling these people the Wonder Girls, you know.
And that's Nynaeve, Elaine, and Egwene's not with them right now, but yeah.
Yeah, but the three of them together are the Wonder Girls. And that's just like something the fandom has branded them with if you're not in mm-hmm. like the book fandom. And they, I think, are a lot more well-rounded. They have specialties for sure, but they're a lot more well-rounded.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, that starts to show flaws in the system. But yeah, we got some nice time with the brown Aja, especially in season two. So we've met Viren, who's obviously the most important member of the brown Aja from the books and in the show. Her sister in the show is Adelaus. Adelaus has a different sister named Vandine in the books, but that's fine. They're condensing characters. This makes sense. And then we also met two new characters who were added just for the show, Yasika and Naomi. And Naomi is the one who we saw. She's actually black, it turns out. So that was heartbreaking for me because last season they were like sharing cider or whatever together and having like nice nerdy talk. And I love the brown Aja.
Interesting too that Naomi is given this like specialty of compulsion.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or memory erasure. I think right. they're basically framing this as like a type of compulsion though.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Well, yeah, I guess we're not going to say any episode 2 or 3 spoilers in this episode, but
no, we are.
In this episode? Okay. So yeah, this is coming out after. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So we see Raven also using a form of compulsion, Lord Gabriel, quote unquote. Using a form of compulsion to alter the memories of people around him to make them all think he's been around longer with the royal family of Gamelin.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, is that what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that completely went over my head. Like, I understood that compulsion was happening, but I didn't understand that he was, like, rewriting history here.
Well, the first time you see a new character meet him, in episode 3, they reveal who he is. But in episode 2, they haven't revealed yet who he is. And the first time a new character meets him, they pause and they're like, and this is, oh, of course, the Prince Consort. Yes,
right,
of course.
Right.
Well, I've known you for years.
Very interesting. Okay. All right. Well, now I feel very dumb, but that's okay because you're here with me to guide my hand.
And so, yes, we are recording this before we record our episodes 2 and 3 breakdown.
Right, right. We have to be careful not to just like analyze those episodes because we haven't gotten to do that yet.
But anyway, the brown Aja, it's a very fair Aja. It's governed by an internal council rather than just one head per se. And the leader of the council is called the first chair. Going to what a lot of us probably think is the least fair Aja, everybody's most hated Aja, the red. And their purpose is to prevent the misuse of the one power. And they especially interpret it that as, you know, they need to gentle males who are corrupted by the male half of the power, also known as Sidine.
Right. And like, here's the thing, like, there is an argument for this.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And that's the problem is like, this is almost like everyone like loves to hate them, but they're like, okay, but they're necessary. That's kind of their role in the tower. And this has been, you know, for thousands of years now, men who channel go crazy and they hurt mm-hmm. people. And like, that's why there is actually a reason to gentle them. Even if it does hurt them, it won't kill them and everybody around them. I mean, we know that men actually do die and pretty much anybody gentled or still dies within a few years of that. But I mean, I see the point of what they're doing. And so the question is, what is this Aja now that you have the dragon reborn and you can't gentle him without forfeiting the last battle?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so it is, you know, and it makes it easy for the other Ajahs to hate them, which leads to, you know, we saw in that first episode that prejudice that was shown where the Reds weren't allowed into the chamber. But actually, those two Reds, as far as we know so far, they do not seem to be Black Ajah. So they actually would have helped rather than hindered the fight against the Black Ajah. But
yeah.
They're being discriminated against because of prejudice. And obviously, that's going to cause problems.
Yeah. It's, again, like, this is why it's more interesting than the Harry Potter divisions, because they have that whole, like, oh, only the Slytherins go bad. And here it's like anybody from any Aja could go bad. And the people right. who are, like, the cops you don't like, they might be good. They might be, right. like, good intention. And that's what's so interesting to me about the Wheel of Time, which I think puts it above some other fantasy in some of these aspects, is that the Wheel of Time makes you question, like, how does good come together when we have a different idea of how to get there? And right, that feels exactly. much more real world to me than a lot of fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see some characters who do the wrong things for the right reasons. And then there's a lot of characters who, I don't know, it's hard to say, like gentling the men who go mad. Like, is that the right thing or is that the wrong thing? Depends on your perspective or what, right. if you think that there is any other option.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So the Red, they are though known as man haters. They never bond warders. The sister who leads the Red Aja is titled the highest, of course. and they consider their highest to be equivalent to the Amarlin seat within the Red Aja. They respect her basically the same amount. And at the moment, that is Tsutama. We've seen that they had some private talks in the Red Chamber, and Tsutama is the current head of the Red Aja, not Elaida, who, new character, just introduced, advisor to the Queen of Andor, played by Shohreh Aghdashloo. She would like to be the highest, but she is currently not.
Elaida is a very interesting character, and I honestly thought she'd be younger just because of her demeanor in the books.
Yeah,
but I actually kind of like what they're doing here by changing that.
Yeah. I think because she's, you know, she looks like, so when you first look at her next to Tsutama, you're like, oh, well, I'm going to defer to Elaida, however. I guess they said Elaida in the episode. But actually, yeah, that's not how, that creates a tension in the inner hierarchy of the Red Aja, let alone the tower and beyond.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's interesting because if an Aes Sedai is going to look as old as Elaida looks here, she must be like 300 or 400 years old.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Like we are at that point, and you go, well, I don't think, that's why I think that you can't read that in
at least 200
in the books. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I do think it makes sense here. It does seem, she seems to have some kind of like health issue going on.
You think? Like what?
Yeah.
Because she was shaking, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It made me think of Scylla with a syndrome.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so, that's not a thing in the books, yeah.
Yeah, so they're adding that, and I think this could be really... We're getting into the episode now. We got to stop. Yeah,
okay. Okay, so we've obviously... Leandrin is of the Red Aja and also of the Black, clearly. And the other prominent Red that we've met this season is Galena. So we saw Tsutama is the leader of the Aja, and Galena is the one who... She was happy to accept the strawberries from Elaida, and she just seems a bit more... she seems a bit more, you know, deferential to Elaida.
Yeah.
Whereas Tsutama is like, don't step on my toes, bitch. But yeah, so Red Aja. And then there's two more Ajas that have gotten the least screen time in the show, always get the least page time in the books, and that's the gray and the white. I said that the gray is one of the ones that I could see myself as part of. Their purpose is diplomacy, politics, and negotiation. So when there's a big treaty negotiation between nations, you often want to call in a gray Aja member to help with that. So far, we've only really met one, which is Joya. She's the bald girl who last season pegged her, knew she was Black Aja. She's revealed here as Black Aja, and she's now in the custody of the tower. The sister who leads the Grey Aja is titled the Head Clerk. Do you have anything else to add about the Grey Aja at this point?
Boring.
I think the gray Aja is important. The one that I like.
Ooh, all right, sorry.
The one I like the least, other than the reds, is the white.
Fair enough.
Their purpose is logic and philosophy. So far, we finally met the one really prominent book character from the White Aja, Alviarin. That was the third sister who was at Egwene's testing for becoming accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And the sister who leads the White Aja is titled the First Reasoner. Any thoughts on White?
I mean, that's super pretentious. I'm the First Reasoner.
Yes, I'm the most logical. But yeah, so how does it work when the accepted become sisters?
They've got something that Swan says sometime in the series, and I think it's later, so I don't want to spoil when, but she says, like, you know, by the time you finish your trials, you, as an accepted, you will have already been guided to the right Aja, whether you know it or not.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of an informal process of, like, dating the Ajas. Like, you'll take lessons with each Aja, with somebody from each Aja, and you kind of, like, vibe with them, see who you're more drawn to. And by the time you're an Aes Sedai, you kind of know which one you want to be. And then you have to go to the Aja that you want to be in and ask to join, and nobody ever says no.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you can't be refused entry to the Aja of your choice. But yeah, indeed.
Well, you can, but just nobody ever does.
Can you? Is it allowed?
Yes, that was made very clear in the passage I read like last night.
Okay. Okay. Well, we've seen, so far we've seen Nynaeve and Egwene take the test to go from novice to accepted. And so they go from wearing the novice white dresses to a new type of white dress that looks less like a servant and more like they have these rainbow banded armbands and stuff on their accepted white dresses. And then they get the serpent ring. In the books, the serpent ring is just a serpent ring. In the TV show, the serpent ring is has a setting for a stone, but it's empty when you're accepted, and you only get a stone the color of your Aja once you're accepted. In the books, instead, you get these shawls, and the shawls have the fringe the color of your Aja. So, do you miss the shawls?
I could go for a shawl. I like a good shawl. There's also the thing of, like, it makes it very easy for an accepted to just, like, change hands of the ring and pretend to be Aes Sedai in the books. And we see in, I think it's episode 3, that Egwene is being taken for Aes Sedai by the Wise Ones and doesn't correct them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think we ever saw her represent herself as that, but she certainly didn't correct them.
No, which, yeah, is fitting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And some stop at accepted. If you attain the rank of accepted, then you can keep the ring and you can leave and you can still, like, come back to Tarvalon when you want. If you don't make it to accepted, then you're kicked out, basically, and you're gone. You're banished from Tarvalon.
Can't sit with us.
Yeah.
It's over.
Can't eat lunch with us. Can't play our reindeer games.
But also, like, I think I said this in our episode 1 podcast, like, they definitely don't have as much freedom as they're portraying in the show
here, right?
In the books. Like, Egwene's just like, I'm going to disobey the Amyrlin seat.
Yeah.
I'm going to go exactly where I want. And you're like, oh, it's fine. I think it works for what they're doing in the show.
Right.
Again, they are reordering some plot lines and you just got to change some things.
And you know, the fact that Egwene is besties with, not even besties, dating the Dragon Reborn, you know, Swan is also a bit like, well, at least we do want, she knows that Egwene is going to play a big role in helping to influence the dragon in the future. So she has to stay on her good side.
Right.
But yeah, so we saw, for instance, in the first season, we saw Amalisa, the princess, I guess, of Faldara. She had an empty ring because she became accepted, but not a sister. This season, we saw Queen Morgaz. What do you say? Morgaze?
Morgaze. Yeah. And I think they said that in the show, too.
No, that's fair. I just pronounce it with a European A.
Look, I'm just lucky that I've listened to some audiobooks because it does help a lot, because I agree with you that there are definitely different interpretations you could make of the same name.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, she's another one who, it's custom, they say, in the episodes for the daughter heirs of Andor to study at the tower. But usually they just leave with an accepted ring. So that's why Elaine is hoping to become the first full sister queen of Andor. Yeah.
And I don't think they made this clear in the show, and I don't think they're going to, so I'm just going to say it. Like, Morghese was not really powerful enough to become accepted even. They kind of just gave it to her as an honorary ring.
Right. Yeah, well, it's like she demands to Swan, like, just give my daughter the ring now. And like, well, everyone else has to take the test.
Right. But in the books, I don't think Morghese took the test. I don't know if they're implying that she did in the show. It could be different. But yeah, it's interesting. Like, Elaine is that much more powerful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which is, you know, there's this new generation with Nynaeve, with Egwene, with Elaine. Suddenly there's a lot more power than there used to be, and the dragon was born into that same generation. Is it a coincidence? I think not.
It's did you ever watch Arrested Development?
Yeah.
Did you watch season 4 with the
I watched the whole thing, but I might not remember it as well as you.
Do you remember Alia Shawkat singing with Indian style of music? She goes, "Coincidence."
Okay, no.
Well, I feel like I need to get a clip of that and put that in some of our podcasts.
Yeah. It's called Taviran in this world. That's another.
Yeah, right.
That's another lore cast.
I have always appreciated that we have in-universe plot armor, and so it's not just the author; it's the world.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, he wrote it into the plot. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And yeah, so we've seen the hall where there's, so obviously not all the sisters meet in the hall. They have three sitters. So they're kind of like the senators of their Ajahs, the three sitters. Interesting to note that at least each Ajah had at least one black sister we saw in episode 1. So yeah, they were all the way infiltrated. And often the heads of the Ajahs, we saw Tsutama, it does seem to be a sitter and the head of her Ajah, but in the books, they make it clear that often the heads of the Ajahs are not one of the sitters, just to keep the heads of the Ajah more hidden, I suppose.
Right. Which makes sense.
Yeah. And so what's the deal with the Amyrlin and Keeper of the Chronicles?
Well, we kind of already talked about this, but when they are raised to Amyrlin, they give up their Ajah, they become, of all Ajahs, a nun, as you said. And it's so silly because they're supposed to do this, but everyone knows that they're going to favor the Ajah that they came from.
Duh, yeah.
Yeah, which you get it, you know? And generally, the Keeper of the Chronicles comes from the same Ajah as the Amyrlin seat, although it's not a rule.
Right, because Amyrlin gets a peek. Gets to pick their own keeper.
Right.
And then it has to be voted on and ratified, basically. But obviously they're going to choose one of their buddies.
Yeah. That's your VP.
Yeah. And then the Amyrlin, to show they're of all and none, in the books, she wears a rainbow stole with all the stripes of the seven different Ajahs. In the show, we saw that worked into her clothing, into her collar and stuff.
Yeah.
What I find interesting is just all of the politics within the tower, how some Ajahs get along better and some are natural enemies. So for instance, blue and green tend to be best friends. They both hate red and vice versa. There's some really interesting politics going on between the blues, browns, grays, and yellows, because the browns have beef with the grays and yellows for historical reasons, and the blues have some uneasiness with them too, but the browns will support the grays over the blues, but they'll support the blues over the yellows. Like, it gets really complex. I don't know how much they'll go into that in the show, but I love all the politicking in the house.
I think they've actually quoted this in the show. I think Moraine might have said it, but they have the game of houses, Deus de Mar. We talked about that last season. And Moraine, I think, at one point says, you know, the Kyrianon might play the game of houses, but the Aes Sedai invented it. And so it's very complicated, the tower politics. And where I'm at in my reread right now, they are going into other hierarchies within the Aes Sedai, and that's interesting too, like the secret hierarchies.
Right. Yeah.
Which we probably could talk about here, but I don't want to spoil it in case they do it later.
I don't think they're doing the thing in the show with, you mean based on perceived power? Like, yeah, in capital P power?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing in the show. I think we can say that.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to say it. You know, there's this thing, because it's not like that big of a twist, right? It's just like sisters can tell, you know, channelers of the same sex can tell with experience, like how powerful another channeler is, roughly. They're not, it's not always accurate. And so, sure, the head of an Aja is going to be above you, and the sitters are going to be above you, and the Amaryllis is going to be above you. But if you are not any of those things, generally, your opinion matters as much as how powerful you are.
Right, exactly. And then so that adds another twist when we have all these youngins coming in who suddenly have more power than all these sisters who have been there for a century or more.
And right.
It creates interesting dynamics.
Right. Like, experience doesn't even play into like the hierarchy. It's really just power.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I would say it's a complex web of all those things where, but power is definitely a big role because it's hard. It's undeniable if you're like, well, that person can literally crush me.
To quote Cersei Lannister, power is power.
Yeah. And one thing they did for the show that I think was a good call. So in the books, it's common for members of an Aja to dress in the color of their Aja. It's common, but it's not like mandatory or universal or whatever. In the show, they basically always have the members dressed in the color of their Aja. And I think that's just important for visual storytelling and just making it easy when there's less time to get into all that.
Yeah, I totally agree. That was a very good idea for like the people trying to keep track of who's in what Aja.
Yeah, exactly. And then so that brings in the wrinkle of the black Aja, which is like, it's like a second secret Aja. So basically, you're a member of the black Aja if you're sworn to the dark one, but you have to also be a member of another Aja publicly because people don't know you're a member of the black Aja. So,
and you have a day job and a side gig. I get it.
Yeah. Well, it's also like, I think about, like, I have membership in the, in the Potawatomi Nation, but I cannot have, that can't be my only nationality. You know, I have to have at least another internationally recognized passport as well.
Right. I get you.
But yeah, so they're sworn to the dark one. And part of that swearing is that they go through the painful process of breaking all three of their oaths that they swear when they become full sisters. So that means they can lie, they can create weapons, and they can attack innocent people, as we see the Black Aja do in this first episode. And they're basically embedded in the tower as sleeper agents, and they have their own internal hierarchy where, and for the most part, I think in the books, it's like they have little cells of three sisters, I think, who know who each other are. And then each sister knows one other person in a different cell.
They're called hearts.
Hearts. You're right. Sorry. Hearts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a very secretive, like it's deliberately decentralized so that you can not capture one and then get everybody.
Right. Right. Which is why it's interesting. So Leandrin, she says, I will tell what I know, and they all attack her. Well, we find out that actually in the book, a lot of the sisters were directly connected to her heart.
Mm. Yeah.
The ones who jumped up and were like, okay, I guess we got her back.
Yep. We're doing it.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. She says, I tried. She says, I tried. Any other thoughts about the Ajas, black other or otherwise?
I think we'll develop it further over the season. It's always tricky when we've read all the books and we don't want to spoil things. But honestly, I don't think you learn that much more about the Ajas beyond this. Like this is a pretty good solid overview that you need to of everything that you need to know.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, basically, we're explaining the chess pieces, but then the show is going to show how the game plays out.
Yes, and I'm finishing up the show guide as we're recording, but I'm going to be putting the affiliation of each sister on their character page in the show guide that's for subscribers only.
Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah, and as far as, we're just keeping, this is a short one. The next one is probably going to be a bit longer. We're talking about geography and this entire world. But all the stuff we said in the public podcast still applies. We won't waste too much time with telling you everything that's going on in the network. It's the same stuff. But do explore the link tree with links to the affiliate podcasts and, of course, the Severance feed and links to the season pass if you want to hear more of these lore casts. And I think we're going to have maybe a couple other extra episodes in the works.
Yeah.
I know.
We're cooking. We're cooking in here.
We're cooking. And Discord, come chat with us on Discord. We have a whole Wheel of Time forum set up with different chats with spoilers for different episodes and a book spoiler chat and everything. So,
very cool.
And send your feedback in to WOT@thelorehounds.com, and we will do a couple of mailbag episodes this season as well.
We should have made a funny email for this one. We should have been like, randisatool@thelorehounds.com.
Ooh. That'll generate emails on its own.
It sure will.
I do not think Rand is a tool.
No, but he's a whiner. For sure.
He whines sometimes.
He can be a real tool at times.
I called him a dog. That's D-A-W-G, but not in the cool homie way.
I was watching the episode, and I was talking to my wife, and she goes, why is this guy just like a chick magnet? Like, what's going on here?
Rand Penny Dropper Al Thor. He's all right. Tahirin.
Well, that's enough for me today.
All right. Do you want to do the reading of the names?
Sure. We have our Discord server boosters, Aaron K. Tiller, the Thriller, Dork of the Ninjas, Dove 71, Athena A, Tina Lestew, Nancy M, Ghost of Partition, and Radioactive Richard. Thank you for supporting the server and getting us also these bonus features. And Lore Masters, Samartian, Michael G, Michelle E, Brian P, SC, Peter OH, Bettina W, Adam S, Nancy M, Duve 71, Brian 8063, Frederick H, Sarah L, Gareth C, Matthew M, Sarah M, DJ Miwa, Andre B, Kwang Yu, Deadeye Jedi Bob, Nathan T, Alex V, Sub-Zero, Aaron K, Dally V, Mothership 61, Gnarls, Kathy W, Lestew, Jeffrey B, Elisa U, Neil F, Ben B, Scott F, Stephen N, Julia F, Kali S, Ilmariel, and Adrian. Thanks everyone for all the support, and we'll see you on the geography episode.
All right, see you in Randland.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions, feedback, and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all our episodes at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities.
Are you ready for a deep dive into one of the most intense animated series out there? Welcome to Radioactive Ramblings, where we are currently breaking down the world of Invincible. Each week, we're going to unpack the jaw-dropping twists, the unforgettable characters, and that trademark brutal action. From Mark Grayson's journey to the darker side of heroism, to our continued love of Debbie, we've got every moment covered.
Mark, I don't want to hurt you.
I'm not the one who's going to get hurt.
You said you don't do threats.
Yeah, well, people change.
Whether you're a longtime fan or just getting started, tune into our exclusive takes, fan theories, and so much more. Catch new episodes of Radioactive Ramblings every week, your go-to podcast for all things Invincible and more.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.